For Open Access Week 2014, we are speaking today with Dr. John Drake, Associate Professor in the Odom School of Ecology, University of Georgia. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Marianne. I'm glad to be here.
We're also talking with Tad Dallas, graduate student in the Drake Lab.
Yes, happy to be here.
Both are great champions for open access publishing in science. John, tell us about your research area and why open access.
Yeah, so the field that I work in is called the ecology of infectious diseases. It's this fascinating confluence of environmental science, biology, and public health that's really emerged over the last 20 years or so. Infectious disease is obviously of interest to the public. We have modern pandemics like SARS and the H1N1 influenza, and we also have outbreaks like the terrible epidemic that we're seeing of Ebola in West Africa at the moment.
Thanks for being here, Tad. I remember we had a conversation a few months ago about why you were interested to have graduate students receive more support to publish open access. Could you tell us a little bit about more why you feel that way?
Yes, absolutely. So I was writing a paper, and I had developed open access software, so freely available software, in order to analyze data in a particular way. And I was applying it to freely available data, so open access data. And when it came time to publish, I thought that that work should be disseminated very broadly. And so that was the main motivation to get that in an open access journal.
One of the things I really like about Tad's research and also his ethos toward scientific publishing, you know, it's easy to advocate for open access in cases where people have an interest, like in public health. But I think that that disguises the fact that academic knowledge is itself a public good, and it's publicly supported. And it's important that the information, the new knowledge generated by scientific inquiry is actually disseminated as broadly as possible.
So I'm hearing that open access is critical to disseminating knowledge that's been publicly funded for research. What are the downsides of open access?
We have to be careful. I wouldn't say that open access is critical. It's important, but we've been able to publish scientific research for the last 100 years without having open access, where most of the dissemination of knowledge is either by individual scientific societies or large scientific publishing houses that specialize in that kind of information. But I think that we are going through a kind of revolution in the way that scientific information is both constructed and distributed. Much more so than in the past, the construction of scientific knowledge is a transnational activity, involves collaborators from all over the world. The information sources, the data, can be contributed by the public, by government, or by individual experimenters in the lab. It's very much a collective enterprise. And now that we have digital media and the internet to distribute not just scientific publications, but also data and software that are used for analyzing those data, it makes sense to me that we should be using the same digital infrastructure to distribute the knowledge that we generate.
So let's talk for a minute about the obstacles to open access. Why do you think open access is not the mainstream but an alternative publishing model?
So, Marianne, I sort of want to reject the premise of that question. I don't want to say that open access is an alternative to the mainstream, but I want to say open access is the new mainstream. That's not to say that there's not a place for traditional publishing houses, for-profit journals. There is a place for that, especially if they can add value to the products of our research. So the way I see it is that there's multiple mainstreams, and open access should be one of them.
Tad, any thoughts?
Oh, I certainly agree. And I could see, especially moving away from traditional print journals, that open access has now become more viable. Sort of economically, because the onus is not on the publishers to make some sort of color figure print physical copy, and instead more an online distribution.
Let's talk for a minute about obstacles to open access in the academy. Are there disadvantages for up-and-coming scientists to publish open access exclusively?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marianne. So there's been a lot of discussion about this. And in my view, there are some real and some imaginary disadvantages. The real ones are actually cultural. There's cultural barriers to the adoption of an open access model for distributing scientific information. Many of the old and prestigious journal titles that we refer to, many of the classic papers in science were published in these journals. Many aspiring scientists, graduate students, might like to publish in the same journals that Einstein or Crick published their original results in. But this is a barrier that we can together, I think, overcome by showing the high quality publications that can be distributed through the open access model. But you know, the importance of science is actually in the audience that it reaches. It's also difficult to evaluate the quality or importance of research while it's still current. Most times we only see that when we look back and we say, look at all of the fantastic research, look at the line of work that came from this one idea or that particular experimental test. So to me, the more important issue is actually identifying the right audience. And of course, with digital distribution, you can now reach a much wider audience. And using search tools, it's easier for that audience to identify the papers that they're interested in wherever they might appear.
So let's consider digital distribution for a moment. Who pays for it?
Look, science is expensive. We know that. But it's also worth it. This has been shown over and over again. In our view, the benefits of scientific research, new knowledge, really need to accrue to those who pay for it. So, at a minimum, state and federally funded research ought to be available to taxpayers. So, yeah, that's expensive. And I think that we can roll those costs of dissemination into the costs of doing research. Now, one model for doing that is to properly include the costs of disseminating research products in, for instance, state and federal grants for research. There's a case to be made for the products of privately funded research being made open access too. After all, most privately funded work is really extensions to research that are initially federally funded. The funders of that private research, I think, should be able to profit from their studies, but they should also compensate the society that paid for the basic research. There's a kind of social angle to this. Science is really a collective enterprise, and contributors to that collective should be able to enjoy its fruits. I would turn the question around, and I would say we shouldn't pay for what we don't want, and for-profit publishing houses exercise an awful lot of leverage over what gets published, what gets consumed, and who pays for it. It's important that students are also able to produce their research. This is how some of the most cutting-edge work is going to initially be distributed. This is also how students find themselves into careers as scientists. The main resources that students often have to tap into come from the institutions where they study. I think it would be advisable and progressive for institutions like the University of Georgia to cover the costs of students' publications.
And there's one thing that I've actually struggled with a lot is that this idea that a graduate student, I'm becoming a scientist, I'm training to be self-sufficient. And so I have support to do my research, and however, I don't have the support to actually go and publish that.
I also think that we need to look at the costs of open access publishing more closely. A lot of the work is actually done by the scientists themselves. They do the research, they do the writing, they do the editing and the reviewing. Nowadays, typically, they're even producing the figures and doing the typesetting themselves. So most of the value that's added by traditional publishers is in printing and distribution. But I'm not sure that we need the publishers for printing and distribution anymore. Now, of course, if for-profit publishers are able to add value to the scientific products generated by our research, then they should be compensated for that. And if they have a business model in which they provide a service to the scientific community, we should welcome that.
This has been a great conversation. My takeaways from hearing you talk about open access is that, to quote in your own words, John, it is one of the mainstreams. It's not an alternative. It is definitely one of the mainstreams of publishing in science. Also, that there are some barriers to be overcome. One is being the financial aspect of it, as well as the cultural in science. So we'd love to have this conversation again next year and see what has changed.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, Marianne.
Thanks for joining me.